Blog Talk Radio.
They said we could.
Stay in the left.
Velvet liner.
Absolutely.
Spend some time in the country. We're glad that you dropped by. Spend some time in the country. Leave your worries behind. There's lots of fun for everyone. The best in music, too. Spend some time in the country. We've been waiting here for you. Here in the country, waiting here for you.
Live from Ontario and heard around the world, welcome to In the Country with Dave Woods. This is the place for up-close and personal interviews, as well as great country music from our featured guests. So sit back and relax. Today's show starts right now.
Nashville singer-songwriter Vicky Ray will steal your heart when she sings as she paints a scene of heartbreak or hope. She sounds great on record and even better live. Right now she has three CDs available. They are on iTunes and another one on the way. We're speaking now live from Nashville with Vicky Ray. Hey there, Vicky.
Hey, Dave. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing pretty good, trying to stay warm here in Nashville.
Same here in Ontario. It's a pretty cool winter, definitely. And that's not too usual for Nashville, is it? It's usually a little warmer than that.
Yeah, we're coming off of one of the bigger snowstorms or whatever that we've had, and that's finally mostly melted, and then it's supposed to be rainy for a couple days, and it looks like we're going to have snow again. So, and I'm from Florida, so I'm just not used to it.
That's a big change for sure. Now, I understand that where you're from in Florida, that you started this music career in musical theater way back at the age of 8. What kinds of things were you doing then?
I played Annie. We did Annie, Chicago, The Fantastics, just a lot of things. It's kind of always what I had done, and someday hope to maybe be able to go back to and revisit a little bit. But you name the show, if it was open then, and I've probably done it or at least excerpts of it.
Wow. So then obviously along with the singing, you're pretty comfortable being on stage in front of a crowd.
Yeah. Yeah. My dad says I was born to do this.
So right
not
away,
sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I think he meant that I was starved for attention.
I guess it's a good field that you went into then, because if you were in some other field, it might get in the way, but this kind of area career is one, obviously, where you get to be in the spotlight.
Sure. It's well suited for those of us who are, you know, attention-starved.
And your music background is pretty varied. I know that you were in a rock band for a while called Emerald Steel, and you toured Germany, Brazil, and the U.S. So there was a lot of rock influence there. What was that like being with that band?
Wow. I was really young when that opportunity came along, and it was a friend of mine's husband's band. And I was like, okay, well, whatever, it sounds cool. And I joined up with them, and not really knowing what to expect. And we got some interesting reviews because I didn't sing like a rock singer per se. I was a little that type of thing, and they had originally started off as a Kiss cover band. Oh. And so we still did a couple of Kiss covers, you know, of course, and worked in slowly but surely a bunch of originals, and that's kind of how things ended up taking off. It was a very, very cool experience. You can't beat being a rock star, you know, whatever scale, whatever that is. And it was just one of those things.
And what led you from that? I know that after that you went solo into your career. And what sort of led you to Nashville and sort of dabbling in the country sound?
That's a great question. I'm adopted and my dad's American. My mom is Cuban. And so I had wide arrays of music playing in my house at any given moment of any day. And my dad, fortunately, was a lover of anything music. So we would listen to classical or reggae or what have you, but he listened to a lot of country music and was a huge Tammy Wynette and Patsy Cline fan and Hank and
right.
And Willie and Waylon and Christofferson and all those wonderful things. So there was something about that I just enjoyed doing. Like I can remember sitting and singing crazy every time Patsy Cline came on the radio, you know, and
right.
Back when they used to play, you know, mixed radio. So they would play that followed by, you know, Journey or something or whatever, you know. It was just, it was wild, you know, back then, the way that they, the programming went on radio. And so when I got out of the band, I was doing one of those self-evaluation things and trying to figure out what my voice was. I wasn't much of a songwriter. I wrote out of necessity for therapy, mental clarity, than anything else. And I just said, you know, I want to take a trip out to Nashville because that's where the songwriters are. And I started traveling back and forth. And it just helped clarify things for me. So that's kind of what ended up leading me down the path to Nashville.
And obviously in rock and country, one difference is you can sing more of the heartfelt stuff within country and obviously express yourself a little more, I would think, through your songs.
Yeah, I mean, most definitely. It's one of those things, like I really got tired of singing other people's songs, you know,
right.
You know, doing the karaoke kind of thing. And I said, I'm sure I have something to say. And just started to dig deep, and I love that about country music. You know, it majority wise and historically, it's always been about the lyric, and that's something that's quite important to me. You know, melodies are great, and don't get me wrong, because everybody likes to sing a great melody, but
yep.
It's the lyric that sets country music apart for me. So
yeah, I would definitely agree with that. That's what pulls people in. And tells a story and moves them. So with that in mind, Vicki, can you recall some of the first songs you started writing? And were they
any good? I don't know that I want to. I was really bad. Now, like, looking back or whatever, you know, on the catalog and stuff, I was like, wow, oh, my God. The first, when I really started writing, I hadn't even come to Nashville yet, the first group of songs that I'd really written. I was a worship minister in a church, and which I can hear a bunch of people right now turning over going, huh? and if you lived here in Nashville, you'd probably understand why, but that's all good. But I used to write a lot of praise and worship music, which was relatively easy to write. But yeah, I remember my very first song that I wrote right before I came here, about 2 months before I got here. I had 3 months on guitar, so I learned how to play three chords in a horribly choppy succession, and I wrote a song called Bound for Tennessee. It's on my first record, and I threw it on there just because we were done with the entire session, and I went, I have one song, and I wrote it, and will you just play the guitar for me or whatever, and I just have to get it laid down because I just couldn't believe that I actually got one out.
Wow.
You know, and I think things sucks, you know, but my mentor that I met when I moved here was one of the first songs I ever played in Nashville at a writer's round with one person in the room other than the host. It was kind of interesting, but he's like, your instincts are better than you think they are. I was like, I don't know about that. But I've come a long way in 2 years. So
with this, when you say you've come a long way with the songwriting, can you sort of pinpoint what you think the difference is, what you kind of learned to bring your craft up?
Well, as far as what I've learned, it's been, honestly, it's just writing, you know, the more I write with very strategically planned breaks, for, you know, mental purposes, the birth of what comes on the other side of that is always the next level of things. So I have songs that were transitional for me, since I've been here. And they were just, I mean, major pivotal moments. And then I've had a couple big pivotal moments. You know, like I wrote one song, and from that song to, you know, that next big pivotal thing or whatever, it was just a significant difference. And you can hear it, you know, throughout
right.
the catalog. So it's kind of scary when you look back sometimes and go, wow, I really thought that was good.
That's good and bad to look back, right? Because you can see how far you've come. But on the other hand, you think, gee, I used to think that was great, But I guess improvement is always a good thing.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, I look back or whatever and go, well, the song was bad. Is there anything in it that I can steal possibly to write another song? And I cut and paste whatever it is that I need, and then I trash the one that stunk and
yeah.
start over, you know?
Oh, that's great. Now you do a lot of performing live around Nashville. It's places like the Rusty Nail and, of course, the famous Bluebird Cafe. What is that experience like when you're getting up there and let's say you're sharing a brand new song that you've written and no one else has heard before? Is it a bit nervous, I guess, and exciting together at the same time?
It's weird, and the feeling, I think, is a little different depending on the room. I don't know that I would ever have the cojones, like we say in Puerto Rico, you know, to bust out a brand new song at the Bluebird. I'd probably trance all over it and just mess it up.
Right.
I get nervous. I start shaking when I walk into that room to play, which I don't know why. It's just another room, really. But I guess it's just, you know, it's the history and my mental things.
All the
security that gave away. Yeah, but if it's a friends round, like if a friend of mine is hosting, I usually feel pretty comfortable now. I've been around long enough that it doesn't make me too nervous to do something new. I pay a little closer attention because, you know, when you play around a lot, you know the songs that you have that people are gonna, you know, just, you know that you have the room. You know that they're listening. You know that they're gonna. You know those points where they're gonna go, oh, you know, whatever. And then that new song, it's, you know where those moments are for you, but you don't know what's gonna happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that uncertainty sometimes, like, are they gonna listen? Because, you know, maybe if they're not really quite listening, my songs tend to be real strong lyrically, and so they're lyrically driven. And if you're not listening, sometimes it's like, wait, what happened? You know, one of those kinds of things. That's a little nerve-wracking, I guess.
It must be great to have them, as you were describing, in that moment where they're hanging on, and you know there's going to be a line you're going to deliver that is going to move them a certain way, and you can probably feel it, I guess. The silence, of course, from the crowd, and then you probably, as you look out, you can see them being affected by it.
Oh, absolutely, and sometimes you can even hear it. I was sitting and playing a new song that I just did a guitar vocal on. For a new artist, you know, just because we're talking about potentially writing and things like that. And so when we sat and I played this song, I got to the last line of the chorus, which just, you know, is one of those lines. And she just went, I mean, three people in the room went, oh. And you got to love those moments as a writer, you know.
Right.
So on the writer side of that, I love that, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, I want more of it.
Yeah.
You know, if you put one of those lines behind one of those lines behind one of those lines, and all of a sudden you have a song that doesn't make sense, unfortunately. So you have to have the three lines that are kind of not that impressive to make that one line pay off. But when it's done right, man, it's just it's magical, you know?
Yeah, definitely. That totally makes sense to have the one line stand out and the others, because if they all stand out too much, I guess listeners can kind of burn out, or it's too intense.
Yeah. It just, you don't want to overthink. And I've done that too, you know, where I've overthought a song and it was a little too clever maybe, or
right,
or way too artistic, you know, where it was like, what are you talking about? Which in some genres works, you know, and
yes,
in rock and roll you can kind of get away with that, and where things don't necessarily have to make quite as much sense, and everything is just the cool factor. In country music, unfortunately, that doesn't work.
Yeah, you can't get away with smoke and mirrors in country. It's got to hold up to the truth test, and listeners, it'll strike them funny if it's a little bit out there.
Absolutely. And it has to be honest at the end of the day.
Definitely. Well, let's share some of your music now, Vicky. And we're speaking with Vicky Ray. You can check her out at VickyRay.com. The last name is spelled R-A-Y-E. She's also got CDs available on iTunes. You can go there and search her name for, I think, so are we up to, so we've got Cover to Cover, Different Shade of Southern, and Cigarettes and Circumstance was the latest. Is the Unplugged project out yet, Vicky?
Right now it's only available live.
Okay.
We're actually holding some of those songs back. There's a couple things going on here in town, and a couple of the songs or whatever have been on hold a couple times, and so I haven't released them on iTunes because I didn't want to, at the time anyway, didn't
sure
want to jeopardize the moment. And then I ended up on the road and everything else, so it was more of a, I just haven't had the time to
yeah
send it in and get it all uploaded to
yeah
iTunes and stuff, but it will be hopefully soon.
Perfect. Okay. Well, we're going to come back and talk about lots more, but We're going to play Midnight Whiskey. And actually, before I do that, Vicki, if you could just explain the inspiration behind the song for our listeners.
Oh, wow. This is digging deep. When I first moved to Nashville, I succumbed to a lot of demons, I guess it is, that a lot of people kind of fall into, you know, when they move here. And as a songwriter and being an artistic person and all this other stuff, and, you know, there's a lot of drinking and a lot of late nights and just a lot of things that, you know, looking back, it's like, dang, what a waste of my efforts and money. Now, not that I don't have those moments every once in a while, a girl has to have fun, but I spent a lot of nights, down that road. And there was one night in particular, my husband was still living in Florida, hadn't moved here yet. So it was just me. My daughter had gone down there and to go and spend a couple days, with him there. And so I was sitting here by myself and I had, I am a country singer and songwriter. I have a bottle of Jack Daniels in my, in my nightstand, and my guitar hangs on my wall when I come home, you know, and
yeah.
That kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it was one of those nights I couldn't sleep. And so I pulled the bottle out and put the TV on, and I just grabbed the guitar and said, oh, I'm just going to practice. And the original lick that I play when I play it out by myself came to me, and I said, maybe I just need to write this out so I can go to bed. And I just started writing. And it was one of those things. I had fallen asleep watching a Christofferson thing initially.
Right.
And so when I woke up at 2 a.m., it was kind of floating through my brain. And I was like, I want to write one of those songs, you know. And I didn't know where it was going to come from. I honestly don't remember much about writing it. Sitting and looking back about it, you know, looking back at it rather, because I, you know, bottle of Jack Daniels on the nightstand wasn't there in the mornings. but for a long time, it was the best song that I had in my catalog. And now I have other, you know, that was one of those pivotal moments that I was talking to you about. And and it's a very, very special song to me.
It's such an honest song and heartfelt, and I know our listeners will hear that based on your story, of course, and listening to it now. So we'll share it. This is Vicki Ray with Midnight Whiskey on In the Country.
The distance between alone and lonely is like the difference between the sun and the dark. If you knew me at all, you'd know bridging the gap is gonna kill me. It's a long road home to alone now that you're gone. Now that you're gone. And the midnight whiskey settles the debt that I owe my heart. The only comfort I get, but I guess in the long run, a sinner like me don't deserve much more than that. And that sweet little place in that stiff little drink has a way to remind me of just what you think. With a blink and a tear running down my cheek to the midnight whiskey. Midnight whiskey. I stumble, tremble, the silence betrays me. The morning sun is high. It burns my eyes. This old highway keeps getting older, but I ain't getting no stronger. Dancing with shadows, I wind up missing you and me. Missing you and me.
to the midnight whiskey. The midnight whiskey settles the debt that I owe my heart. The only comfort I get, but I guess in the long run, a sinner like me don't deserve much more than that. In that sweet little place, in that stiff little drink, has a way to remind me of just what you think, with a blink and a tear running down to the midnight whiskey, the midnight whiskey, midnight whiskey, damn midnight whiskey.
And that is Midnight Whiskey, written and performed by our guest on the line from Nashville, Vicky Ray. You can check her out at VickyRaye.com, R-A-Y-E. She's also on Facebook and Twitter, MySpace as well, all over the place. Now, so that song is from Cigarettes and Circumstance, Vicky?
Yes.
Awesome. Great song, and as great as it is there, I've watched the video on YouTube of you, on your website, it's on YouTube as well, performing it live, and that live feel is just wonderful. The emotion is quite spectacular.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Now, on that subject, and we've had a friend of yours and a touring mate, fellow songwriter Julie Forrester, on the show recently, and she and I talked about songs as being therapeutic for both the writer and for the listener. So how do you feel about that subject? When you write these songs, is kind of a weight lifted off you?
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, every word I write, even when it's a silly song, is therapeutic, you know, to some extent. And then I can only hope, you know, that it hits somebody else like that. And that's one of those songs, you know, for me. I wrote it because I needed to write it. And I played it out one time, and somebody came up to me and they go, "You have no idea. I was just there. I was in that place, you know. And it's good to know I'm not alone. Thank you so much." And took off. I have no idea what his name was or anything.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a very cool experience.
That must be something, yeah, to hear that back, to know that you basically, you know, almost changed their life or affected it to a degree that is quite something.
Yeah, and I've always said that. I mean, I write, you know, I try to be a commercial songwriter, or whatever. Too. I mean, I'm an artist, so it's a thin line to walk
right.
Sometimes. But as an artist, because I am, you know, I'm an adult woman. I'm not 19 years old, and I'm not trying to be. You know, I'm trying to be exactly who it is that I am, and I think that there are a lot more people out there like me, you know, than there are, like, you know, some of the other artists or whatever that are out there. That's
sure.
Just my personal opinion, and I have no problem saying that, like it or not, you know. I'm
yep.
Probably shooting myself in the foot right now, but it is what it is. And because of that, I went out on the road last year, and that's why I started booking myself out of town, because I got kind of tired of people telling me I wasn't commercial enough or whatever. And I said, well, you know, who's to say what's commercial? I'll show you what's commercial. And I went out and played, and if I'm out there and I'm touching people and people are coming up to me crying or you know, falling over and buying the merchandise when I am done, then that tells me that there's something commercial about what it is that I do. And that's more important to me than anything.
Yeah, oh, I totally hear you. And I think that is sort of music's the bigger mission of it, is not just to be a big hit song on the radio. That's fine, too. But music that you're singing, like Midnight Whiskey and other of your stuff, you know, if it's affecting people and moving them, I mean, that's really what music's purpose is, ultimately.
Sure. Sure. I had my mentor, or whatever, Mr. C.J. Watson, he used to always say, "Does Vicky make them laugh, make them cry, make them love you, make them hate you. If they're feeling something, then you did your job."
Right.
You know, and it's true.
Yeah.
It's true. You moved them to do something. You know, even if it was to turn the knob.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's a reaction, and that's wonderful. Now, as far as cover songs go, Vicky, are there certain ones that I know you did an album called Cover to Cover with songs on there? Are there certain ones when you're performing out that you enjoy doing for the crowd?
I actually don't anymore. I stopped doing covers probably when I moved here. So unless it's one of those weird, wacky, it's 11:30 at night and we're partying and, you know, decide to go karaoke, you probably won't hear me do a cover song unless it's something that a friend of mine has written that's been cut and covered and they just happen to be sitting in the round anymore. That's the beauty, I think, of being a songwriter. Not that there aren't some phenomenal covers that I wish I had written and been the artist on, but I have so many of my own songs now that are just as good that it's kind of like, you know,
sure.
But someday I might. And my next cover album will probably not even be covers that people recognize as covers, but people in Nashville would, you know, because there are a lot of great songs and songwriters on these streets here in Nashville. And I mean, you know, 1,000 writers could go home tomorrow. Great writers could go home tomorrow and with all of their songs, and there would still be thousands of phenomenal songs on the road.
Isn't that amazing that the amount of great songs that are out there that, like you're saying, aren't even getting recorded, aren't even hitting the charts just because there's so many of them, and obviously you get a chance to hear them being in Nashville.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely, and that's part of the reason why I have two different touring things that I do. I go out on my own as Vicky Ray, you know, the artist and whatever, and I do my own thing, and I also have an In the Round on the Road, which is kind of like the Bluebird thing and taking it out on the road, and it's not anything new. I'm sure people have been doing it forever, but that's kind of how Julie and I started that whole vision. And there are a few other people, whatever, that are doing it as well. And I think that that's so important, you know, because not everybody can make it to Nashville, you know.
Yep.
So you'll never hear them. You'll never hear these songs. And it saddens me a little bit. But you know, I guess it's always kind of been that way.
And I guess if there are people out there writing songs that George Jones used to record and have hits with and a lot of the older stuff, I'm sure there are people writing those that maybe you'd only hear in Nashville because they're not being cut these days, because they're not contemporary enough.
Yeah, well, that's a whole other bag for me, you know, the country pop thing. I mean, I think there's a place in music in general for everything.
Right.
I think that it's important to have it all, because it keeps us rounded. However, it saddens me that, you know, the more traditional style of country music, you know, like what I'm used to, you know, what I grew up on,
sure,
listening to, isn't even acknowledged on most mainstream country radio stations anymore. I won't mention who. And but it, you know, it, that's something that really bugs me.
I think a lot.
There's
a couple
of moves.
I think a lot of people would agree with you on that.
Yeah. There's a movement here in Nashville. I don't want to throw anybody under the bus, but there's a movement or whatever here in Nashville about, you know, in regards to that. And there are a lot of people that do feel that way. And again, I mean, I'm not knocking, you know, the other stuff either. I think that there's a place for it. I just think that the more traditional stuff deserves the nod, you know, that it's earned.
Sure.
You know, country music is what it is because of those legends, and so to not acknowledge them anymore in the music that we're creating, not that those songs aren't being written, but the fact that they're not being spun on radio because, you know, Joe Blow in, you know, Timbuktu has some pretense that he thinks that what country music is, and,
right,
and doesn't realize that things are all encompassing, and sometimes it's just a matter of giving it a shot, you know.
Yep. Yeah, I think we need that variety. We definitely need the tradition back, for sure.
Yeah, and it's just a matter of time. I think things go in cycles and come full circle, and I know that there are a lot of independent artists or whatever out there that are really doing hardcore, you know, straight up traditional country stuff, and that's what they do, and all you can do is keep your fingers crossed for them, or take a visit to Texas and you'll find all sorts of traditional country music, you know. But fortunately, as a songwriter, you know, being in Nashville, I can, you know, you can walk on a stage and a songwriter around and play a traditional song, and everybody eats it up. You know, one of my best friends, is a phenomenal traditional country sounding guy. Actually, two of them that I know of right now, and a couple others that I know some things are in the pipeline. So maybe it'll just be a matter of time before some things break. We'll see.
Yeah, a good song and a good movement can always bring that back around, so we'll definitely keep our fingers crossed as a great country lover myself. Well, we're out of time now, Vicki. It's been a real pleasure talking with you and sharing your song Midnight Whiskey, and I'll encourage our listeners to head on over to VickiRay.com and also check you out on iTunes. They can hear a lot more of your stuff. So once again, thanks so much for coming on, Vicki.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Dave. It's been fun.
Awesome, and I hope to talk with you again. My guest today has been singer-songwriter Vicki Ray, live on the line from Nashville. I'm Dave Woods, and that wraps up this edition of In the Country.
Spend some time in the country, we're glad that you dropped by. Spend some time in the country, leave your worries behind. There's lots of fun for everyone, the best in music too. Spend some time in the country, we've been waiting.